The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
Time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do! Tyler Wani scores! And the City ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Hello and welcome back to Red Side of Trent, here to dissect Forest's valiant effort in a 2-0 loss to Manchester City as the bottom three stay put for now. Forest outside the bottom three by only a point, with the PSR breach's conclusion coming to an end hopefully on Wednesday, and hopefully a positive one in Forest's favour. Joining me on the pod as usual is Rhys Lane. Returning is Alex Oates, and a new guest in Danny Tring. Hope we're all well, gents. First of all, we're going to get straight into it, Danny, as you're new to Redside HQ over here. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the starting lineup, a change in personnel. Willy Bolly came back in, Anthony Elanga, and a change of formation to a 3-4-3 or 5-5-4-1 or however you wanted to see it. What did you make of that announcement at the time?
At the time, I was surprised, but if I'm honest, I think it worked in the right way. I think it wasn't really negative five at the back. And then he went with like two midfielders that wanted to get on the ball rather than two midfielders that just want to sit and protect. And then Bolly coming back is always a bonus, because I think it probably is our best centre-half when it comes down to it. I think if you go on the season, I think Murillo's outstanding as an individual, but as a defender, you know what you're getting from Bolly is solid. And then I like that it kept the wingers on, so you've got an outlet still. Because I was, at first I thought, oh, if it goes 3-5 at the back, without having a 1 year as your focal point in the lone striker, you ain't got that pace in behind, that power. Whereas it kept the wingers there, you got that pace. Hudson-Odoi was a threat all game, I thought. And Aina were outstanding. And then Williams, he got forward when he needed to and then got injured. And Montiel, I thought, stepped in, did exactly the same, seamlessly, really.
What was your thoughts on Gibbs White starting central midfield? Because I will have a discussion about this later when we talk about Sheffield United fixture for the weekend. But just thought what your initial thoughts were, him playing there.
I think the thing is, we know we can do it. It's one of them, isn't it? It's like, we know we can play the 10, and I think it's one of them, when he's in the 10, if it's going well for him, he's outstanding. Whereas if it's not, it goes in fits and starts. Whereas when he's in the 8, he's always on the ball. He always wants to be an option. And I think arguably his best attributes are like physical ones, in the aspect like he's decent in the air, he's decent in the tackle. He's got a good engine on him. He's aggressive. He's not like in there and he's flicking, like when he's in there, he's flicking it about like he's when he's in the 10. He just does the simple stuff. And I think he likes like the close contact as well. When players come near him, like Rodri did him, rolled him a few times. I mean, he got caught a couple of times, but you're going against the best midfielder in the world for me yesterday. And I thought him and Danilo both did really well.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Reese, we're going to get straight into the game. I thought first, 40 seconds, Nico Williams had a glorious chance and just couldn't sort his feet out of the back post with a great cross from Olerena. I mean, marauding down that left-hand side all afternoon. I thought he was brilliant.
I know, absolutely burning Paul Walker for pace. That was something nice to see, wasn't it? Yeah, I got the impression, I think, Nico probably thought it was Guardiola won it at the back post. I got the impression he thought he was going to head it and he didn't. And then it kind of was like a half-hearted attempt because I think if he'd have knew it were going to go over his head, he probably would have volleyed that and it would have been from that close range. If he'd have connected with it well, would have been interesting to see if Ederson would have kept it out. But it was the perfect start. And yeah, in terms of effort and application, we couldn't have asked for any more. It's just unfortunately the difference was the clinical element.
Definitely. I mean, Forrest got right into City's faces. Plenty of good tackles, plenty of high pressing. I thought Sells obviously made a good save from De Bruyne where it got deflected. Williams forced Ederson into a smart save. And then, unfortunately, Alex, Williams has pulled up injured after stopping the cross from Jack Grealish and his hamstring's gone. And I don't know why we don't make a substitute there. And then if physio knows his hamstring's gone, but he's the one that's probably marking Guardiola. I think, is it W2 Analysis or whatever his name is on Twitter? Yeah, I think he highlighted it that Williams was marking Guardiola and he's inevitably scored from a good delivery from De Bruyne. I mean, I don't want to say great because it's a standard for him, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it's another bloody set piece goal, isn't it? I don't know where to start. Gibbs White's lost his man. I watched the replay earlier, funnily enough, from a different angle from Sky, and it's far too easy. He's not even attempted to run with him. Whether that's how we play, whether that's zonal marking, but obviously he's drifted across the front post and he's put a deft header into the back of the net. You don't save those either, so I don't think Sells could have done much about it. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, having 10 men on the pitch against City at any point isn't ideal, let alone when we're about to concede a corner, which we're notoriously poor at.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the same old story. I mean, you'd rather get carved open by City than concede like the standard set piece goal, which has been the story of our season. But Danny, we kind of didn't like that. Didn't kind of get us down. I thought we responded pretty well. And again, that man Alaena, I think I was going to tweet something like yesterday, like he was our best winger. And he inevitably was because he put an unbelievable cross into Montiel at the back stick. He put it across back to Chris Wood where you'd want him. Good movement from him. And I don't know what's happened because it was the story of his day. That first one kind of was probably the worst of them all, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, Reina, it's like, that's why we all fell in love with him at the start of the season, wasn't it? We all seen what he can do. I mean, Chelsea away, you were outstanding. And then I think he had that injury and I think he's not been right since he went to AFCON. He did well there and then come back and he's just finding his feet now. I mean, yesterday I think was his best game he's had for us. And then, like you say, with the Wood chance, it's one of them, isn't it? It was one of them, whereas if he hadn't played for ages, you'd say he was rusty. I think his feet didn't move quick enough. I don't think his movement were good, but he just couldn't get the shot off. Whereas I think it's just he had it off day. I think his old play were good, which I think I've been critical about. And I thought overall he did occupy the centre halves, but the chances he had, or this chance, he's got to score it. I know people will say, oh, it's harsh, he's been brilliant this season, but you've still got to score them. They're the difference. It is the difference. We score that goal, it's a different game. And it does come down to the fact that it's what, 6 yards out, it's got the goal gaping. And I think the ball back to him was good. It's like it's come at pace. He ain't got to do anything other than slot it in. He ain't got to make the effort himself. He ain't got to put no power on it. Just do the basics. But he couldn't do it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he didn't expect it because I've rewatched it. And you can see that he does like a little... Just like that Gibbs White spinning move like he did against Man United when he was trying to get away from Varane or whoever it was. And then, yeah, it's like he didn't move his feet quick enough.
Yeah, it's standing, but his standing foot. He didn't. It literally like left it. He didn't get behind the ball. I don't think. I just think it was his footwork letting down.
I know, and then Reece will, as we know, not many teams create chances against Man City, and when you get them, you've got to take them. And the chance for Murillo from the corner kick, I mean, that would have been down your end of the ground at the Bridgeford end. I mean, what did you make of that at the time?
I mean, at the time, I kind of didn't know what had actually happened. I mean, Ederson made an absolute meal of it, didn't he? Which is a surprise for a keeper of that quality. And I mean, in the ground, it didn't look as bad as it did on the replay. I've literally just watched the highlights before he's doing his pod. And yeah, I'm not sure, kind of sure what's happened. That obviously just tried to flick it in and he somehow managed to hook it over the bar. We've all been dying for a Murillo screamer all season. I think he probably got closer with a few of his screamer efforts than he did with a yard tapping. I'm just not sure what's kind of happened there, really. It just summed up his day, didn't it? When your looks out, when you're down at the bottom, them type of things don't go for you. That's probably Erling Haaland at City's end. That probably hits the underside of the bar and goes in. You know, it's just, unfortunately, just luck wasn't on our side yesterday. And but yeah, it was another, same as like what Danny said, it's a chance we should have scored.
I mean, how we didn't score yesterday, I
just don't know, to be honest.
I mean, at least the set pieces were better with Danilo and Hudson-Odoi on them rather than Gibbs-White. Because I thought, I mean, to trouble one of the best keepers in the league, I don't know if you'd call him one of the best in the world or not, but he was flapping at every single one of them. He was really struggling.
Well, I mean, if you're going on distribution, he is the best keeper in the world without a shadow of a doubt. So he's definitely in the conversation. It was, you know, he went off injured, didn't he, at half-time, so I'm not sure if that played a part, because it was the latter stages of the half. Because he obviously got clattered by Willy Bolly and them two clattered together, didn't he? So with the size of Willy Bolly, I couldn't imagine that being not hurting much. So
I mean, Willy Bolly collided with Brennan Johnson and nearly killed the lad. So I can imagine Ederson, who's a bit bigger, like, taking a bit of a hit.
There's another chance where... He probably should have scored.
Yeah,
he kind of knew from them two chances it wasn't going to be our day, unfortunately.
Yeah. Alex, I thought second half, we come out, try to go at City. I thought we showed no fear, which is something I think the fan base will be wondering where the heck has that been for most of the season, especially against the teams in and around us. We seem to like raise our game, really, for the big games. But I thought good play down the left. Alenga got a little bit lucky with his winning the ball off Kyle Walker so soon after he'd lost it. And he's put it on a plate for Wood again. And as I said to Danny, it was the story of his day, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, before the game, I saw a five-back. I was expecting us to basically go the same as we went into the Arsenal game, soak up a lot of pressure and try and hit him on the counter. It didn't go like that at all. But yeah, the chance you're referring to, I said to lad who sits next to me, you wouldn't want to find any other Forest player in the box than Wood there. And the first chance he had, that Danny answered to, and that one, you'd be cursing if that landed with anyone else. Because 3-4 weeks ago, you're pretty much guaranteed a goal. But yeah, it's not one of them days for him. It's great pace from Alanga. Again, he's got down the side of the fullback. It's a great pass for him. Is it Gibbs-White who made the pass?
No, Aina. The star man. The star man.
Yeah, no, it's a great pass inside the fullback. And Alanga's burned him. He's put it on a plate. You have to score those. If you're going to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the world, they have to go in. But it was a good block. But yeah, he should be scoring for me.
Yeah, I mean, just sticking with you, Alex, were you surprised about how the approach was from us? Because like you said, most people will probably go, well, we're probably going to keep 11 men behind the ball, watch that game against Real Madrid, where Real Madrid like just basically had like everyone behind the ball and soaking up pressure. And it wasn't not like that one bit. It was very, very surprising to me. I mean, really, really encouraging, obviously, going into the last three games.
Yeah, I don't know if Nuno's reached the point in his tenure where sort of Cooper did, where Wolves away, where he sort of goes back to what he knows and puts the personnel in place for it, and sort of just says, play your game. I was expecting 11 men behind the ball and to try and counter and to ship four or five ourselves. But yeah, it didn't pan out like that. I'm glad it didn't. We showed a real pair of balls to actually go at City on multiple occasions. And I tweeted something yesterday. It's like we created enough chances to win that game twice. It's just one of those days where it's fallen to your main number nine, exactly where you want it, exactly who you want on that situation, and it's just not happened.
Yeah, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Danny, I think people might agree with this, might disagree with this, but it kind of seemed like we ran out of legs and then Murillo might have picked up a knock in the lead up to Haaland and coming on and scoring City's second and kind of killing us off a little bit. Talk us through what you thought of the goal and whether you think Nuno maybe should have thrown on Amabamadele sooner or just changed it up in some capacity anyway.
Yeah, I think regarding that, the change, I think it's the same with the first goal that we conceded. It's like with Williams, I think if you've got a bit more nous, I think you stay down and you get the sub on. It's like, I think if he, and I think it's the same with Murillo, if he knows he's going to come off and he's struggling, you need to get the sub on as quick as you can. It's like you were saying about playing with 10 men, no matter, you don't want to play with them no matter what time of the pitch it is, what time it is in the match. Whereas with that one, it's like Murillo was struggling probably 5 minutes and it looked like he wasn't going to shake it off. But then you can counter it. People will say, well, he's done it 5 games this season, maybe more, where it looks like his legs are about to fall off and it carries on. And then I think they lost that legs in the midfield, didn't they? Danilo and Gibbs White looked like they'd just lost that extra 10% they needed. And then De Bruyne had dropped into the space where Nkati had gone with him the whole game. Every time he dropped in there, Nkati was on him. Whereas this one time he wasn't, slipped in Haaland. And it's Haaland, isn't it? He's going to score. I know he's been off it a bit, but you'd fancy him to score that. And it could have probably made the change 5 minutes earlier. But when you go back to the chances we've had, you go on like, say, 70 minutes, was it, when that goal went in? I think over that 70 minutes, you, like Alex says, you've created enough chances to win 2 games. You know it's not your day. And it's one of them, I think, the last 20 minutes proved that. It was like, oh, we've tried our best, but it went on today, want today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to ask you all of this. I'll start with yourself, Danny. How did you feel walking away from the ground overall? Because I think a lot of people would have took a lot of pride in that. I think there was a lot of build-up with everything that happened at Everton last week, what Gary Neville and Carragher said, and booing of the Premier League anthem and everything else. But overall, everyone just wanted Forest to put in a performance. And I think they did that and can hold their heads up high. How do you feel now about the result and going into the last 3 games?
I think if everyone were honest, they'd have said before the game, as long as our goal difference don't get hammered. Like you can be the biggest optimist and say, oh yeah, fancied us, we're good. I see someone say, oh, why do we put City on a pedestal? Well, it's quite basic really, isn't it? They're the best, probably the best team in the world. I know they've got knocked out by Real Madrid, but they've camped in the game. So for me, I went into it, I thought, well, as long as we put a good account of ourselves. And I didn't think we had the performance in that we had, to be honest. I didn't. I thought we'd go sit, like I say, sit deep. But we didn't. We took them toe-to-toe. I mean, we had, I think it was 41% possession. I think 15 shots. They had 10. We was the better team. We was the better team. Mm. So I come out. I'm optimistic. But then it's chalk and cheese, isn't it, home and away. It's like it is. It's like people call the Everton performance, it's the same every game, I think, away. I think you can probably pick the Newcastle away. And then you can probably, I mean, the Chelsea one, it was backs against the wall at one point, wasn't it? Jackson's missed an open goal. And we all go on about that was a great win. But on another day, it's not a win. So if we're at home, I fancy us away. I don't know. I don't fancy us. I don't. I genuinely don't.
That's fair enough. Reese, same question to you, really.
Coming away from the ground,
yeah, like Danny says, kind of pleasing the set, because when that second went in as well, it would have been very easy for Forest to just completely cave in. And then if City wanted to just, you know, up the gears and get a couple more, because that's what they can do. You know, they put one chance on a plate for Erling Haaland, and guess what? He's put it in the net. Again, it's just kind of what we're going to turn up next week, isn't it? We've all said, I think any realistic Forest fan yesterday would have expected to get beat, and then it's kind of onto these last three where we all think, you know, we all think we can get results. The problem is yesterday, there's no pressure on us yesterday at all. Everyone expects City to win. We can go out and play with a bit of freedom, whereas next week, the pressure's on us to win. Sheffield United have got no pressure on them. They're relegated. I mean, I don't know what they're going to rock up like. Are they going to rock up and think, well, very much like Forest did when we was last in the Premier League, the 98-99 season, I think we've been relegated. And I think then we went on to win his last two or three games. We actually dragged Blackburn down with us. So are they going to have that mentality? They can play how they want and with no pressure, or are they just going to stink the gaff out like they have done most of the season because a load of their players are out of contract? And I mean, Chris Wilder didn't mince his words. I heard his interview on TalkSport today. So I'm just kind of wanting Saturday already, really. I think yesterday was one of them. You just want to get out of the way and, you know, realistically look at these last three games where you look at them on paper and think the games we can get points from, but can we hold us nerve? It remains to be seen, really. We'll have to see come Saturday.
Yeah. Alex, same to you, mate.
Neighbour's dog's outside.
Sorry, mate. I added you on mute, sorry.
No, that's all right. Neighbour's dog's outside, so I apologise if you can hear that in the background. Yeah, well, I said yesterday that we've lost the game, but I don't feel dejected by losing that game. It was one of those games where the performance far outweighs the result. I felt we deserved something from that game. But at this point of the season, performances aren't going to keep you up. We've got three games left, and I would have much rather have played like absolute ass for 90 minutes and drawn that 1-0. Same away at Sheffield United, go there, stink the place out, but win 1-0. If we can perform well and pick up points, brilliant. But yeah, I'm not reading too much into yesterday's game. As Danny said, they're the best team in the world. And I don't think those players that come off the pitch yesterday gave us anything to be ashamed about coming away from that, even losing a game.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, I'm going to get to some slept on it thoughts before I get a player performance from each of you, and then we'll talk about the Sheffield United thing and hopefully maybe some PSR breaches. But here we go.
Red side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
Okay, so here we go. Premier Elliot, we were unfortunate to lose as I actually enjoyed the performance of the players. Play like that for the next three games will be fine. Today's fact is, according to the new scientific study, the best way to perform CPR is to do it while humming the Macarena. I did think it was the Bee Gees, Staying Alive, personally, but thanks for that, Elliot. We've heard that a lot of times this season, play like that and we'll win. No doubts about it, but it just doesn't work like that in football. Tom Newton, no disgrace in that result. It would have been different if we were more clinical. If we apply the same performance the next three games, then you'd probably say it will be enough. Just fair few players were outstanding today. We go again next week. Jerome Lucy, the formation was spot on today. Love the 3-4-3 with Morgan White deeper. Fair play to Nuno for the setup. Nuno's in-game management was poor. Why did Williams sub take so long? Clear hamstring injury. Murillo should have been subbed before their second as well, which we've all mentioned. Carl Booth, a decent display considering the opposition. Set piece goal again, though, which is something we've not solved all season. Haaland turning Murillo inside out when he was clearly injured took the fairly even game away from us. Need three results in the final three. Eduardo, questions have to be asked on Nuno today. Williams injured and he waits to sub him off, so we defend corner of 10 men. Murillo clearly injured again, leaves him on. Haaland eats him up. Nuno's in-game management is so bad. Callum Hudson-Odoi gets in good areas, but ineffective. Reece Coy, valiant effort from a three-hit game, rather would have a day now than next week, which is true. Tactics were spot on and feel this is a good formation given the players at our disposal. Another set-piece goal, possibly unpopular opinion, but if Nico is on the pitch, that's where he could be. Coming your heads. Emma thought we matched them for most of the game, limited them. Moment of brilliance in the second goal. A game of what ifs, but if we play like that, the last three be fine. Anthony McGuinness, I don't want to sound negative after a good performance, special mention to Aina, but it's getting very frustrating how we are constantly putting these level of performances together against the bigger teams where you still don't win them, but against the lower teams we play dross. And last but no means least, because we've got a fair few, Chris Walsh can't have that many chances against these and not take at least one. Chris Wood being very poor. Why does Callum Hudson-Odoi cut inside every time, get it in early? Trouble is we always play well against the top sides and dross against the dross. Let's see. Next week is huge. Thank you very much for everyone that got us in those Slept On It thoughts. I think people on the same kind of wavelength with Nuno's in-game management, unfortunately for him, but I thought formation-wise it was really good. Be interesting to see what we do next week. Danny, I've gave you the man, the myth, the legend of the season. I would potentially put him in. Ola Aina, what did you think of his overall performance? And why did he not struggle on the dry pitch to run past Kyle Walker?
I just thought he was brilliant, wasn't he? From the fit, it was one of them, he set a stall out straight away, first minute. And you could see Walker didn't want to go with him. It was getting to the point where, like, it were relentless, and it was almost one-dimensional. Let's get him to him. And Walker's what best right back in the world, would you say? And I think he made light work of it, really. I mean, that run where he's tackled in his own box, ran the length of the pitch, absolutely burnt him. Like, he'd gone, and it's like you're looking and you're thinking, last week at Everton, it didn't even get out of our own box. And that's the frustrating thing, because we know we can do it. We know we can. It's like he's got the quality, he's got great feet. It's just the one thing a critic I would give him is his engine's not amazing. He does look like he's blowing after about 50 minutes. But is it yesterday I thought it was a man of match for me. Him or Bolly, but I think Aina was a bit more like it was the biggest threat from fullback. It created virtually everything. I think if he did go on the chances, I think if he'd gone through him, I think everything did come through him. The two Wood chances he was involved in, the Nico chance early doors he was involved in. And then regarding pitch, I don't know what went off there. I don't get out of driving on seat morning.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You win? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
No, I don't know either, but yeah, I think it's funny that we've got him on a free, and I guess that's why he's come to Forest, because his inconsistency and, like you say, his engine is not always the best. But no, hopefully he can step up for us. Another question, actually. Do you think he suits the formation a lot better?
I think he does. I think it gives him a bit more of a free rein to get up and down. But when he's on it, I think he can do it in a four. When he plays in a four, when he's on it, is as effective. But it's one of them, isn't it? That's why we're where we are, because we've got players that when they switch it on, like we go to the Fulham game, they switched it on there, they were brilliant. But then when they don't, there's no middle ground. It's either as good as he was yesterday, or it almost looks like it's lethargic. They've got nothing in the legs. They can't get out of the box. So I think that's why we got him on a free. But I do think if you can get another season out of next year, hopefully if we stay up, I think he'll improve even more, because I don't think he's that old, is he? What is he? Mid-20s?
26, 27, I think.
Yeah. No, it's been a good signing. Them three full-backs, we're good at them, aren't we?
Not too bad. Reese, I'm going to give you the wife's favourite player, not because she knows anything about football, but because of his name, and it's Willy Bolly.
Ina's 27, by the way. And something to add as well with Ina is that I know he was his first signing, wasn't he, pre-season, but we literally, I believe, just signed him before that PSV game, which was 2 weeks from the season start. So maybe not having a full pre-season. And you can see that with some other players like Hudson-Odoi, another, maybe if they can get, we stay at this level and we can get a full pre-season under the belt, like Danny says, it can improve even further. Yeah, I mean, Willy Bolly was, he was my man of the match person. I thought he was brilliant. To say he's, God, not played, it's got to be a few months, hasn't it? I'm not sure when he last played for us. Was it maybe
I think it is Luton.
Luton, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
That was nearly 2 months ago, wasn't it, I believe. So, yeah, I thought he'd come back in yesterday and I thought he was excellent. I mean, especially at some points where he was literally hassling City's players, really up the backside. And like Danny said earlier, with Bolly and for a team like us, you know you're going to get that consistent 7 out of 10 every week and you're going to get the basics of defending done particularly well. Whereas like Amarillo, who's an exceptional footballer, and you'd probably slot him in a top six team and you'd think, wow, look at him, look, pinging a pass. He's probably ahead of us, really, in terms of a relegation scrap, whereas Willy Bolly is just, you know, a ball's going to come into the box, you know he's going to head it, you know he's going to kick it, you know he's going to just do the basics, and he's really consistent. And to be honest, if he didn't have that injury and we didn't have the AFCON, I mean, he started the season so well, he probably would be a shout for player of the season. So to see him come back yesterday after a couple of months out and perform how he did against the best team in the world, I know, like Danny said as well, they'd been knocked out the Champions League, but that was on penalties, which is a lottery. I thought he was brilliant yesterday, and it just got to the point, didn't he, where he come off Sangai, where he was just, I think, completely burnt out. And Nuno probably thought, well, we need this guy next week at Sheffield United. We need him for the rest of the season. So I don't want it to be third time lucky and another injury happen with, you know, with what happened with Nico Murillo, which was so disappointing and frustrating because, like, Montiel wasn't even ready to come on. That's what frustrated me. He wasn't, like, even ready to come on. Like, come on, need him ready to come on. And then we conceded that cheap goal. And then we conceded another goal because Murillo's injured when he should have come off. So it's two, really, in-game mistakes, what's cost us yesterday. And
yeah,
from a defensive perspective. But, yeah, Bolly was excellent. He was my man of the match, personally. If he can perform like that for the last three games of the season, then good.
I think one of my favourite Willy Bolly traits is he just goes and hunts people in midfield. That raging
was
bull.
He the one who got slammed in the head by massive headbutt of De Bruyne's free kick once it first half. I think it was Bolly. Put him on his backside. So yeah, that was nice as well to stop De Bruyne pinging one in the top corner.
Yeah, Alex, I'm giving you maybe one of the more tricky players, but someone who I thought had a lot of involvement and maybe could be seen as had a good game, had a bad game, and that's Callum Hudson-Odoi.
All day I was hoping I was going to get one of the other two that those two have got. I don't know where to start with him. His lack of left foot is annoying because there isn't a lack of left foot there. He put one ball in with it yesterday and it was a great cross that found Elanga's head and then Montiel at the back post. And he did the same against Everton. It found a Forest head. He's such a confidence player. It's crazy. When things going well for him, it's going really well. He genuinely looks like he could walk back into Chelsea's side tomorrow. Not that that means much at this point, but I thought he was a solid 7. Everything good that we built, I feel, came down from Arna and Hudson-Odoi. Again, I just wish he'd get the ball in the box more. There seems to be a lot of times where he received the ball wide left. Yes, he's got Walker closing him down. But even when he hasn't, it just seemed to fall back to Aina and then back to Gibbs-White and then back to Aina again, back out to Hudson-Odoi. He'd try something and then potentially win a corner. With Wood, who's what, 6'3", somewhere along them lines in the box, I wish we'd try and find his head more. Same goes for Elanga. But yeah, I'd give Hudson-Odoi probably 6.5 out of 10. Not his best game, but was all right.
Yeah, there was an incident where that frustrated me, where Elanga's gone down the right and he's put a ball right across Man City's back, like 6 yard box, and he's not bust a gut to get at the back post. He's coming like inside, and you're like, oh, another like a normal winger just is there to like maybe tap in, at least put some pressure on the fullback to maybe make a hesitant clearance or whatever. But yeah, he's a frustrating player at times. And then like when me and you went to Bournemouth, Alex, he can pick out a bottom corner quite easily when he wants to. But that's why he's left Chelsea. It's why at Leverkusen it didn't work for him. That's why he's come to us for $3 million. But again, as Reece mentioned, if we get a full pre-season out of him next year and we're still in this league, he could get back there. He has shown glimpses, absolutely. What do you want to say, Reece?
Yeah, I think with, like, it's just so wanting to get it on that right all the time. Everton nullified that really well because he doubled up on him. Ashley Young faced him and then they kept bringing Andre Gomez back. So when he chopped it onto his right, that is where he wants to whip it. So he'll either whip it like he did against Brentford and then Chris Wood will glance it in, or the power's that much on the ball, it'll just cause chaos and sometimes it ends up going in the back of the net anyway. And when that kind of doesn't happen for him, it's like not... It's kind of like a one-trick pony kind of thing, which sounds a bit harsh because I really like Hudson-Odoi. But like Alex said, if he can get some more variation in his game, because when he's running at players, he gets you on edge of your seat because he's quick, running at the fullback. You're thinking, what can he do here? If he can get some more variation into his game, he's still only 23 and he's still really young, so he can still find his way high up the league for me if he can just get some more variation in the game, because he had that purple patch for us, didn't he?
Which for
$3 million, like we said, it's everyone says at the start of the season, well, if it don't work out, same with Lingard, for the pennies we've paid, it don't matter. But as soon as it don't work out, it's like, oh, what a waste of time. But I think for $3 million he's done quite well, to be honest. And he's someone who, especially if we stay up, is someone who I think can improve. Like I said, if he can just get some more variation in his game, really.
Yeah, I mean, our team is so young, so it's like really pivotal that we stay up, because we can build a really, really good side. I'm going to get all of you involved in this one. We've obviously got the PSR conclusion, hopefully, this week, and the rumour mill and TalkSport and other media outlets is that it could be 2 points back. That would feel like yesterday was a draw, would it not, Danny?
I'd probably even border down onto maybe a win. 2 points. It's literally, when you talk, it's one of them, isn't it? When you're at the bottom of the league, it's 2 points is massive. If you're pushing for playoffs when you're in Championship, you look at 2 points, or you want to win the league, 2 points, it's narrow. Whereas when you're at the bottom of the league, you're there because no one's picking up points. So you go on the games in the next three games for, I think Luton are out of it for me personally. I've said I think it's between us and Burnley. And then if you go in, all you've got to do realistically is be 3 points ahead of Burnley. I know it's Forest, we might do an 8-goal turnaround because we've done it before on the last day of the season. But if you go to Burnley, you're 3 points ahead and you've got, I think we're 12 goals ahead of them at the minute, something like that on goal difference. It's as good as safe. I know people will say, oh, yeah, but it is. It's as, you won't fancy us losing 6-0. I know I've said it now, but it's one of them. So for me, if we got 2 points back, I'd probably say it virtually gets us there. I do. I think it gets us safe because I don't think Luton will pick another point up. I don't. And then you're looking like Burnley's got the two tough games. If they get a point in one of them, we'd then be, what, 3 points ahead of them, wouldn't we? If we don't pick up a win at Sheffield United or Chelsea or even a point, we'd still be 3 points ahead of them. So, yeah, for me, it'd be better than a draw.
Yeah, I think if we got two and one at the weekend and Burnley and Luton lost, we Burnley would be relegated. And then Luton are pretty much there or thereabouts relegated as well. Reece, I don't know if you heard Sean Dyche's post-match conference with him and talking about them being safe and that. And he actually said, he goes, oh yeah, you want Luton to stay up, yada, yada, yada. He's talking from a Forest perspective there, I feel. What do you make of the PSR thing, and then and also that and that comment from Dyche, really? Because it is
from Dyche's perspective, they've now won three on the bounce, haven't they? All at home, but he'll want them to finish as high up as they can. I mean, I think if they wouldn't have had a deduction, they'd be on the same points as Brighton, which is, to be fair, some achievement. When you know the media bang on about how Brighton's this perfect club and they've got this incredible Italian in charge and this and owed Mr. Brexit, so match them for points. So I mean, I don't think Everton are going to go there and toss it off, because as well, they've got money trouble. Like we said on this pod before, it's another 2.5 million for each position you finish up the league. So he'll think, well, if I'm in charge next season, I can finish another 1-2 places up the league. It's 5 more million in the kitty. So on the PSR, I mean, it's just rumours into at the minute. Anything back's a bonus, mate, even if it's a point. Yeah. Like Danny said, you're literally clawing for points at this stage of the season. So if we've got anything back, it'd be a bonus. I mean, if it was two, that'd be absolutely massive, because then if we went to Sheffield United on Saturday, one, Luton lost, Burnley lost, Burnley would be down, and then we'd only need a point from his last two games to be mathematically safe. I mean, it all sounds so bloody easy, doesn't it, when you put it that way? But we'll have to see what happens this week. I mean, me personally, whether we get points back or not, we've simply got to win on Saturday. Whether we get 2 points back or not, it's a must-win game. Like I said, I'm not sure what Sheffield United are going to turn up, but we've got to play our own game and take it to them, because in the home game for the first 20-odd minutes, we could have just ripped them to shreds and we let them off the hook and let them back into the game. So if we can be clinical, perform how we did there in the playoffs, it'd be nice, and be a bit more clinical, because we ripped them to shreds that day, didn't we? But we just kind of weren't clinical enough that day, really. It should have been more than 2-0 at the time before, obviously, we conceded a stupid goal. So we'll see what happens. I mean, anything with the PSR is a bonus, and then hopefully we can get something back and that can kick us up the backside and give us a boost for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sheffield United fans will definitely want us.
Oh, of course they will.
They definitely want to win. They want to drag us down. So it's a rivalry game.
The only frustrating thing is, you know, with this Premier League agenda of wanting Luton to stay up, is they play before us again. So, for example, if we do get no points back this week and they was to turn Everton over on Friday night, that would put the pressure massively on us. So we'll see. It's going to be a long week, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Alex, I wanted to ask you a slightly different question on the PSR thing. Do you think if we got the 2 points, 1 point, whatever, how much of a mood swing do you think that will give the players? Because obviously, come back off a decent result, decent performance, should I say, but disappointing result. But we get an extra 1 or 2 points. We kind of know where we're at. I know it shouldn't have changed the attitude of players anyway, because we should still be going after win games anyway. But Nuno's banged on about it enough. I may as well make an issue of it. But how much motivation do you think they'd get going into Saturday if it was to be two?
Oh, it's massive, isn't it? That changes us losing and Luton drawing and only need a goal difference to forcing Luton to need a win. They've got to find a win from their last three games. The ball's very firmly in our court. I think that would lift the spirits massively. But I wouldn't want it to affect the way that we'd go into games. And I don't know if Nuno would, but almost settle for a point. It's hard to say without being in the dressing room. But yeah, I think it would be a massive lift for not only the players,
the fans specifically. I think if we get 2 points back this week, that away end this weekend is going to be absolutely raucous. It's going to be absolutely buzzing, more than it would have been. But again, it all depends on the credibility of TalkSport, which I don't normally read too much into. But I hope they're right on this occasion.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. We're going to talk a little bit about the Sheffield United game for this weekend, Danny. Maybe if you are attending, maybe that flag will make an appearance behind you. We'll see. But would you keep the same shape and personnel? Obviously, injuries dependent. Nico holding a hamstring never looks good on anyone. So would you be enforced to bring Montiel because he played half decent Saturday, or would you change it up and put maybe Aynor at right wing back and Tavares left wing back, or what?
I'd be happy if he went with the same system. I think with the Montiel, he can slip in there. If he played like he did Saturday, he'd be absolutely fine. Sorry, yesterday. Tavares, if he comes in, yeah, it's one of them. We know he's good attacking. He's not going to have as many defensive duties if he does go in a back five. I think we're created as much as... It's like if we went with a back four, the only difference you're going to do is you're just going to put a defensive midfielder in there. That's it. I mean, people might say, oh, yeah, you could put Reina in the 10, but I don't think he's done enough to be like, oh, yeah, he's going to make a massive difference. So I think we created a lot in with that system. It's like, are you going to get more getting Aina, getting fullbacks up the wing than you are getting put in, say, Yates or a Sangari? And are they going to offer you as much? And if we was going to go with a four and put a holder in, I would opt towards the Sangari just because you'd probably be looking at then virtually the same personnel that played against Newcastle, which I think has probably been our only decent away performance. So, but I'd stick with a five for me, just because I thought it would go, and I think it was a bit more solid. And I thought we created probably as many chances as we created all season. So it's not like it was a defensive sit back, let them just pepper us. We actually had a game plan where we actually played football and created chances.
Yeah. Reece, I know you might have a different opinion because you said in our group chat on WhatsApp about you wanting Gibbs White to play in the 10. So I'm assuming that you'd want us to change system.
It's a tough one because of how well it worked yesterday. The problem for Nuno is now if he does change it and reverts back to a four and it doesn't work, he's going to take the flak for it. At least if he sticks with the same formation, you know, fans can't really turn around and say, well, we didn't want that, you know what I mean? So I'd expect him probably to stick with the same formation for what he did yesterday, to be honest, because of how it worked. Like I said, the risk and bringing in players like Sangara and that, I just think the risk's too high because if he starts off bad, fans will be on his back. It's just, you've got to just weigh up the risks. And I think the safe option for Nuno is probably to stick with the same team, really, if everybody's fit. But my caveat to that is why I want to give White in the 10 is because I just want us to take the game to Sheffield United. Because if we do that, as we did at home in that first 20 minutes where we didn't put them to the sword in terms of goal, we could hammer them, really, especially if they're not, you know... It all kind of depends on what they're going to turn up like. Are they just going to toss it off, or are they going to actually show a bit of fight? I don't know. But, you know, they're a championship side, really, in the Premier League. And if we take the game to them and play how we can, like we did against Fulham, for example, we could blow them away within the first half. So the safe option, I think, will be for Nuno to play the same formation. Hopefully we get the same attacking element. Well, I mean, it ain't going to be the same person, is it? Because Nico, if it's a hamstring, I mean, Danny mentioned there about, you know, Aina being at right back and Tavares maybe coming in because he's obviously really quick. But again, that might be a bit too risky for me, but that's why I'm not paid as the manager. So, you know, we'll see what kind of his injuries are this week and see what team we get next. This Saturday, should I say.
Yeah. Well, Christian reiterated into our group that against Sheffield United, every time we've played a three, we've matched them. We've kind of we've kind of like bossed them a little bit, really.
You can't really compare because the championship's a championship. I mean, the home game, to be fair, as
we're
I said,
with a three, and the team was honking.
Yeah, the first half, we could have put them out of sight, but it was a game of two halves. Second half, they came back into it. And to be honest, it was the last, what was it, a minute from time, Wood header, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we only just got over the line there. So, yeah, we'll have to say. I think the safe option is to, you know, stick with the formation, include as many players as we can without injuries from yesterday, and then do this. Like I know Danny mentioned Gio Reyna. There's someone who other fans saying could come in. I wouldn't even bother with him. He'd probably just be with a sub now, if that, for the rest of the season. I mean, the only real positive he's done is he's kind of been our backup winger, which has pushed Callum Hudson-Odoi on to, he had that purple patch, didn't he? It's not really kind of worked out, that signing, but I guess he's someone who could bring on as a sub, as an attacking option. But yeah, we'll see come Saturday.
Yeah. Alex, thoughts for Saturday? That's nothing been said. Obviously, it's a bit of a rivalry game. Sheffield United want to take us down with them. How are you feeling about it? Are you confident?
I'm never confident for a Forest game away from home, especially not the last 2 years. No, I think Wilder will have these right up for it. I think their fans will be up for it. I've seen a few on Twitter as well saying I would love nothing more than to bring Forest down with us. So I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think we're going to roll them over completely, but I do think we have more than enough quality to go there and pick up a win. Again, I said this about Luton game. I don't think it's going to be a good game. And I was right there. I think it's going to be a scrappy game with the winner being whoever really wants it more.
That's fair enough. Whilst I've got you, Alex, what's your score prediction for it as well?
I'm going to go 2-1 Forest.
Oh, lovely. Rhys, prediction, score? You are going? You might see these boys there as well in the away end.
Yeah, well, it's the best, probably the best drinking away day, Sheffield, until you get to the ground when it's an absolute nightmare. It's the worst ground to go to as an away fan. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a load of old blokes shouting scab at me. it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, if it kind of went like the playoffs game at their place where we dominated, got ourselves ahead into a 2-0 lead, and then late on they got one back and it was fingernails time. So I'm going to go same as Alex and say 2-1 Forest.
That's fair enough. Danny, last but no means least.
Rhys has just took words out of my mouth. I was literally going to say, I think we'll be 2-0 comfortable, conceding 80th minute, then backs against the wall. But I fancy us to win 2-1. But I think if we don't win there, or we don't get a point, we don't deserve to stop up. It is literally, it does come down to it. It's like, if you've said, all right, you've got Sheffield United, they've conceded 93 goals this season. You've got them just basically stay in the league. Isn't it? If we win on Saturday, I think it's as good as safe, isn't it, really, if results go the way they should. And if we can't go and do that, then we don't deserve to stay in the league, really. I think it's as simple as that. Like Burnley, what they did, 5-1? 4-1, 5-1?
4-1,
yeah. 4-1, yeah.
That's what I mean. That's the level you're playing at. So
Newcastle went for 8, didn't they, there?
Yeah, 13, hadn't they? Newcastle running for 13. Yeah. That's what I mean. Crazy. That's the level. So, yeah, I'd go with 2-1. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar boat to all you chaps, really. I think if we can't go there and beat a really bad Sheffield United side, then we don't deserve to stay up. But hopefully the points will come back midweek from our appeal. That will give us a kick up the arse. And then we'll go to Sheffield United and kind of set Bramall Lane alight and leave joyous and happy because all the results have gone our way and we wonder what we have to worry about. I'm going to go for an optimistic 3-1. I think they might throw the sink at us and then we maybe get a goal on the counter or something or maybe similar to Fulham, go 3-0 up, concede, and then it's panic stations.
You don't leave Bramall Lane joyous and happy, mate, because there's always some old bloke at the back of that end ready to abuse you. horrible oh, right. I am.
Lovely. Well, I hope you all have a good away trip for anyone going. I know Reece, you're going. I'm sure Alex is going. I don't know about yourself, Danny. But yeah, if you've enjoyed Red Side of the Trent today, drop us a like, subscribe on our YouTube and all that good stuff. There will be a Sheffield United preview this week in some capacity. We'll see you next time. Have a good week. Come on, you Reds.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.